Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord today. If you are our guest, we are especially grateful that you have chosen to worship with us. And we want you to know that no matter who you are, no matter where you came from, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time, there is always a space for you here. All are welcome at Greystone. This week, we continue our journey through Paul's letter to the Corinthian church as we look at a famous text from chapter 13, one that you will recognize when you hear it read. It is the final week of a series in which we are reminding ourselves of the rhythms and the practices of being church in the way that Christians have always been church since the earliest of our gatherings together. So today, as we approach Scripture and approach this time of worship, our prayer is that God is with us and that the Spirit might move through this space and move through us in love. Let us worship God in love together.
We're going to begin with a song of creation, worshiping God as creator and calling us to worship that very God. I want to make a quick note. The instructions there say we're singing stanzas 1, 2, 4, 3, and 4, but actually we're singing 1, 2, 4, and 5, so just knock out the middle stanza, and I'm going to have the ladies sing stanza 2, and the guys will sing with me on stanza 4, so just make that mental note as we worship together. Can we stand, proclaim our hope in this God this morning as we read our opening sentences? Our hope is in God all of our lives. God has held us since our birth.
So we are never in the full grasp of the unjust and cruel.
In love, God saves and supports us.
Trusting in God, we continually offer our praise.
May we do that this morning. Sing with me. All creatures of our God and King,
thank you.
morning. Are there any other boys or girls out there who would like to come and join us? I'm so glad you're all here today. I want to know what you love. What do you love, Tana Grace? Or who do you love? What do you love, Summer? Your family. Mia, what do you love? Okay, so love is a word that we hear a lot. We especially hear love a lot in February, don't we? Because of Valentine's Day. And sometimes some of you said that you loved a person, and some of you said you loved a thing. Now, when we say I love my mother and father, or when we say I love pizza, those two things, those two kinds of loves are not exactly the same, are they? No. The word love doesn't really mean the same thing in those two sentences. And real love is kind of hard to define. It comes from God, and God wants us to have this kind of love. Today we'll be reading verses from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it's a description of how God wants us to love. And it goes something like this. It says, even if I'm the best speaker in the world and I can speak all kinds of languages and speak wonderful things, if I don't have love, it's just noise. If I have the strongest faith, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything I have, and even give my life away, but if I don't have love, it's not really worth anything. Love never gives up. It never gives up on doing good, and never gives up on people. Love cares for others more than for itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. It's not envious of what other things or jealous of what other things people have. Love doesn't brag and boast and doesn't say that I'm better than anyone else. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't get mad easily, and it doesn't hang on to anger. It lets anger go. Love is truthful, and love puts up with things. Love trusts God always, and love always looks for the best. Love doesn't look back and think about what could have been, what should have been. It looks to the future. Love keeps going to the end. Everything else in the world will come to an end, but love will never end. So I want you to remember, try to have that kind of love this week, okay? You may go to your seat.
Please pray with me. Loving God, our Redeemer, we are reminded of your presence through the songs of birds and the whispers of the wind. We're reminded of your presence through the buzzing of the bees and the hum of the cicadas and the croaking of the frogs and of the songs and sounds of so many creatures that you have placed on our earth, and through the falling rain and the crashing of the waves. We are reminded of your love through smiles from strangers. We're reminded of your love through a hug from a friend, or a text or a phone call from our parent or our child. We're reminded of your love by the presence of those around us in worship this morning. Scripture reminds us that your love is steadfast, and that you are indeed our refuge in times of trouble and our strength when we are weak. Scripture reminds us that you have known us and loved us since before we were born. Let us rest in the assurance of that love. Your love is like no other. May we embrace it. And this day, as we share in communion together, let us not only remember your love for us individually, but your love for us as a church, your love for us as a community, and your love for us as the broader family of God. May we share that love, your love, with those around us here today. May we share that love with those who we work with and go to school with, and with those we meet as we go about our daily lives and routines. Let us rest in your love, and let us share it with everyone. In your name we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God through Christ is for us and is celebrated and assured us. Let's stand as we sing.
With me, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you with thanksgiving, for we are beloved and the receiver of gifts. Help us be aware of each gift and see the responsibility that we have to share our gifts with our church and our community, and help us to be alert to specific ways we might use our gifts, both spiritually and monetarily, to further your work on this earth. Through a spirit of love and unity, may we compassionately embrace each other. May we encourage them to see that they are beloved and important to God's work. May the desire of our hearts stir an active commitment to be a blessing to others as we dedicate our tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ, we live in common, love, joy, friendship. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Prophecies, they will come to an end. Tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, and when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put away childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For the last several weeks, we have been on a journey traveling through Paul's ancient letter to the people of Corinth. We have discovered that we are broken people, and yet God calls us beloved. We have remembered that God has gifted us each differently, and in that difference, we have remembered that God has called us together. A beautiful mosaic of gifts and talents shared in community. And so today, we hear again from the Apostle Paul in his ancient letter to the Corinthians with a certain survival skill for living into some of this stuff that we have been talking about. A church remembering love. I don't know about you, but I love a lot of things. I love Jesus. I love church. I love my husband. I love our child. I love our dog. I love popcorn. I love running. I love 80-degree weather. Who and what do you love, and how do you show it? This month, Hallmark and Hershey and other retailers are begging this question as they offer us different solutions of showing our love, different things to buy, different ways to model the love that we have for special people in our lives. It's the month of Valentine's Day, after all, so from chocolates to flowers to diamonds, there's always something in every price range, something for every buyer. My daughter saw one this last week, to continue on the Star Wars theme, by the way. She walked into a store and found a life-size Yoda with a sign that said, "Yoda one for me." There truly are different gifts, and there are different ways to show love. Gary Chapman has built his legacy on this concept. In 1995, he published a famous book called The Five Love Languages, and I would bet that many of you in this room have read that book. In the book, he describes five primary languages that all of us use. We each have one primary and then one secondary, he says. The five love languages are gifts, receiving gifts, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and physical touch. He argues that we each naturally show love in one of these five ways, and we naturally show love in exactly the same way in which we would like to receive love. The key to healthy relationships, according to Chapman, is learning the love languages of others and then learning how to speak their language. Anyone who's ever tried this knows just how exhausting it can be, and yet also how rewarding it can be. It takes practice, and it takes discipline, and it takes commitment. It is just like learning another spoken language. We learn one word at a time. We learn how to practice it, how it feels in our mouths, how it fits in a sentence. With time and effort, eventually, we can apply these skills just like a language, and after time, we might become fluent in the language of another. In marriage, this may look like a gift giver learning how to enact service for the other. Maybe it looks like doing laundry or dishes or making the bed or mowing the lawn. And in return, the other might trade in productivity for taking time to shop for just the perfect gift. I always have to learn this lesson myself, as I love to show love and receive it through acts of service. So my natural inclination is to scrub the countertops and make the beds and vacuum and dust and get everything in order. But what I've learned over time is that my spouse is often sitting on the sofa just waiting for me to be still and spend that quality time. Love is hard work. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about our spiritual gifts. We've named some of them. We've thought about how they might work together for the building up of the church. We've thought about unity amongst difference, acknowledging that it takes us all to embody the church in our world. Talking and thinking about this is all well and good, but actually doing it is really hard. Like learning another love language, it requires practice and commitment. We have to build stamina. But little by little, it comes. Today's reading from 1 Corinthians is one that we often hear in part. It seems like it's read at every wedding, or at least shown in every scene of a wedding on the big screen. But what I've noticed about this use of chapter 13 is that we often strip it of its surroundings. We hear verses 4 through 8. We've heard these words so many times, I bet many of us could recite them from memory. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not boast. And while all these things are helpful, Paul is not writing to a lover. Paul is writing to a church. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. Remember the church that we have been talking about and remembering for the last several weeks, the same church that has experienced conflict and sometimes forgets what it means to be the body of Christ in the world rather than the body of Rome. Paul is not talking to a lover. Paul is talking to a church. And when he writes the word love in this letter, he doesn't choose the Greek word eros for romantic love. That's the love that Chapman is talking about. But Paul chooses a different word. Paul chooses agape, which means brotherly or sisterly love. This is the love that you and I share for one another in community. This is the love that we work at. This is the love which is the glue that holds the church together, just like the glue which holds the triangles and the squares on the page. A closer reading of these love verses in context reveal that both before and after these famous lines, Paul reminds the Corinthians about their gifts. He names them in the text, and he describes their limited nature. Yes, we are a differently gifted people, but we are still human. And if we do not offer our gifts in love to one another and to the church, well, maybe we'd better not offer them at all. Learning to love one another with the agape love described in this letter is the Corinthians' most important survival skill. It is the key to doing the hard work that we have been talking about. It is the key to sharing our gifts and building up the body of Christ in the world. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not boast. It does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own desires. Love is not provoked. It does not take into account wrongs suffered in the past. Love is hard work. Paul knows that it's easy to talk about unity, but once the Corinthian people start living into these commitments of sharing their gifts, things are going to get hard. And so he gives them this most important skill to make it work for the long journey of life, and the skill is love. Now remember that Paul's vision for the church is completely countercultural, just like the ministry of Jesus was. The rhythms of our world teach us to be productive and efficient, but the mission of the church then and now is different and perhaps has a little slower rhythm, one that calls us to heal the sick, to welcome the stranger, to feed the hungry. It's no wonder the people in Corinth needed to be reminded or reprogrammed to do the work of the church. You and I are really no different, are we? We live our lives in our real world. We wake up, we go to school, we interact with people who are sometimes pleasant and sometimes not so much. We try our best to make the grade, to pass the test, to earn a big enough paycheck so that we can pay the bills and sleep comfortably at night and wake up the next day and do it all over and over and over again. And over time, our bodies begin to do these things on autopilot. Without thinking much about it, we do these tasks. We go through the motions day in and day out, and we live in these unintentional communities that are built on necessary exchanges. Student to teacher, employer to supervisee, to each one of us is just comfortably confined in these spaces of repetition and similarity. And it's within those spaces where most of our lives take place. And unintentionally, we are training ourselves in those spaces with unintentional rhythms of work and rest and relationships. But the problem is that the church shouldn't be so comfortably confined. That's not the way that God has called us to live together. And we know this because we're called to live in the way that Jesus lived. And Jesus wasn't confined to rhythms of fishing or carpentry. Jesus carved out a different way. And we are called to follow. And that way includes a different rhythm, one that focused solely on the well-being of others. His day-to-day routine consisted of sitting close to the lepers, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, mending broken relationships, listening to those that society had rendered voiceless, and sharing meals with all of those folks who should never have been invited to the table in the first place. That is what we are called to do as followers of Christ, for that is what Jesus has done. It is this work to which we are called. It is for this work that we are gifted, and it is in this work that we find the very presence of God in our world. No, it isn't easy. It isn't easy at all. It never has been, and it was never supposed to be in the first place. Remember those Corinthians who struggled and lost their way, letting the rhythms of life that they had learned in the world take precedence over the ways that God had called them to live together. But Paul reminds them, and Paul is here to remind us, that when we gather together as church, we are teaching our spirits, we're training our bodies in the rhythms of a life lived in Christ. When we gather together as the church, we embody the love of Jesus, healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, setting captives free, and welcoming strangers and outcasts. That is what it means to embody the love of Christ. And so that is what it means to gather together, is that we practice these things so that they are memorable. Loving like this is hard because, like the Corinthians, we are a group of people who have different gifts and different interests and different languages of love. Some of us want to feed the hungry. Some of us want to offer our gifts of music. Some of us want to work at the clothing closet. Some of us want to volunteer at Buddy Break. Some of us want to volunteer in worship care. Some of us want to teach the Bible. Some of us want to organize fellowship opportunities. Some of us want to grow the church through outreach. And some of us want to care for those of us who are already here. Yes, there are many gifts. Yes, there are many loves. Yes, there are many ways to embody Christ in our world. Love is hard work. But over time, as we continue in this work together, remembering Jesus as the example and practicing the skill of offering God's love in the world for the building up of community, we're bound to slip up. We're bound to have moments where we're not at our best, and in those moments, the muscle memory that we have acquired in this place, the memories of love, those can help us out. They can help us offer grace to one another, and it should be readily available because we have practiced it here time and time again. We have an opportunity today to begin to remember and practice this love as we share a sacred meal together in just a few moments. Each time we come to this table, we receive the grace of God through Jesus, but let us not only receive it and be done. Let us remember and embody the way that Jesus lived and the way that Jesus loved. May the practices that we learn at this table, the blessing of the food, the passing of the bread, and the sharing of the cup, may they come alive through us, like the rhythm of love that is patient and kind and that is not arrogant, but that puts others first. And perhaps one that even learns to love in new languages. You see, when we worship together, and especially when we share of this holy meal, we are practicing. We are training our bodies for the work of love. We're establishing a new kind of muscle memory, one that is countercultural, one that hopefully teaches us that when we leave these pews and when we go out from the sanctuary, the practices that we have done in this room might become alive in the world. Because we, here and now, according to Paul, we see only dimly. We know only in part. But one day we will see the full picture. And all of this practicing that we have done here together, all of our finite attempts will give way to the clearer picture, which is God's kingdom. But for now, while we see only in part, let us keep on gathering in rooms like this. Let us keep passing the bread to our neighbors. Let us keep sharing the cup so that our bodies might build up a muscle memory of what it feels like to be the love of Christ in our world. May it be so. Amen. In just a few moments, we will practice this act of love, this act of pouring out of oneself for the benefit of others, this act that we have learned from Jesus and that we return to throughout our lives. Christ invites all people to this table, all who love God and who seek to live together, embodying love of God and neighbor. All who hunger and thirst to know the presence of Christ in their lives, they are welcome at this holy table. This is Christ's table, and the invitation is Christ's alone. This is our holy meal for the sacred journey as followers of Christ. Come and bring all the faith that you have to this God's table of grace. And as we come today, we remember Jesus, who the night he was arrested, he found himself around this table with friends, sharing a meal. And during the meal, he took the bread, and he blessed it, gave thanks, and broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you." And in the same way, also, he took the cup, and as he poured it, he gave thanks and blessed it and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you." Each time you find yourselves at a table like this, sharing elements like this, do so in remembrance of me, Jesus says. So now come, the table is ready. God, we give you thanks for your Son and for the ways that Jesus gave his body for your call. Let us not take for granted all that is included when we take this piece and as it nourishes our bodies to do your work in the world. Let us remember those words and what they meant when Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you, take and eat." And in a spirit of gratitude, we say amen. pray together. God, we give you thanks for this cup and this drink and what it means in our lives. We give you thanks for the ways that this cup, this new covenant, this new way of life binds all people together in love. And we pray that in the taking of this cup, you might bind our lives together so that we might embody your love in our world. Amen. The cup of Christ, take and drink. Friends, having received the love of Christ, let us greet one another by saying, "The peace of Christ be with you."
As we find our way back, this is certainly a time of commitment, as I know the Spirit of the Lord has been in this place, continuing to work on us. What are the commitments that you are making now? This is a good time to do that. Perhaps the hymn we'll sing in a minute will give us language for that. But if you'd like to come forward, Pastor Christy will be standing here. A decision you'd like to make, maybe it's a prayer request, a decision to join the church, join this community of faith. Whatever it is, we're here to welcome you. The Spirit of Christ certainly welcomes you as we give our heart and our mind this morning. Let's sing these words, "Though I may speak with bravest fire."
As you leave this place, we want you to know that there are ways that you can express your gifts and your giftedness and your calling this week. As you look through your worship guide, there are many ways to be involved in our community, and I will highlight just a few. This afternoon, our youth will gather together at 5 o'clock for youth choir, and then they will have a celebration of that cultural festivity that is happening in our world this afternoon. I'm not legally allowed to say those words, so I have to dance around them. So you know that there is a game on tonight, and there is commercials, and there is nacho dip for everyone. Our youth will be celebrating here tonight, at least until halftime. Come get your kids at halftime. Also, there are two ways for you to, if you feel a need to hammer and nail and cut and measure and plumb, we invite you to come and build with us on February 16th. Greystone will be sending volunteers locally for Habitat for the Baptist build. And then also February 21st, we're sending a group to Lumberton. You see Johnny Glover for Habitat, and you see Jerry Childs for Lumberton. Also, during the month of February, we're going to be looking around our neighborhood and highlighting leaders in our community who are doing a good work that we as a church need to know about. So this Wednesday night, I invite you to come and learn a bit about neighbor health. Sue Ellen Thompson, the executive director, will be here. She'll be sharing what this faith-based ministry is all about, moving and acting within the spirit of Christ to provide health care for everyone in North Raleigh, irregardless of their ability to pay. So come and learn a little bit about neighbor health and meet Sue Ellen. And then join us for a great meal as we fellowship and live our community together.
We're sent forth with these words, right here printed in your guide at the very end of the order. Go, my children, with my blessing, fed and nourished.
Standing for this benediction. As we leave this place where we have come and been a part of the training ground that builds muscle memories for love, muscle memories that are a little different than those we might gain other places in the world, let us go with this blessing. Go with grace, recognizing that here in this place you have received the grace of God who welcomes you at this table. Go in peace, knowing that the God who created you calls you out into the world with a message of hope for all that is broken. And go in love, remembering the skills and the rhythm of love learned here today, and embodying that same love everywhere you go. Amen.